This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now we're going to another hadith, and that's the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who is one of the elderly Sahaba, but he's not from the Al-Abadila Al-Arba'a, as we said, the four Abadila. Abu Abdurrahman. An Abi Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, qal, حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق. That the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us, and he was as-sadiq and he was al-masduq. He was the honest one, and he was also al-masduq, which means that the person who was giving him the message was also honest, i.e. Jibreel alayhi salam. So sadiqun fi qawlihi, masduqun fi ma yuqalu lahu. He's truthful in what he would say, and he was true. It was true whatever would be said to him, i.e. whatever Jibreel alayhi salam would bring to him. Inna ahadakum, inna ahadakum, yujma'u khalquhu fi fi batni ummihi. Each one of you ends up being gathered and developed within the womb of his mother. 40 yawman, for 40 days. Nutfatan, as a nutfah. And I'll explain what each of these words actually mean. Thumma alaqatan, thumma yakunu alaqatan mithla thalik. Then the person becomes a alaqa for the same sort of period, approximately speaking. Thumma yakunu mudghatan, then he becomes a mudgha, also for a similar type of period. Then finally, thumma yursalu ilayhi al-malak, then an angel is sent to him, and that angel breathes the soul into him, and he's told to do four things. To write down the sustenance of this individual, the lifespan of this individual, the actions of the individual, and whether the person will be a happy individual or he will be a sad individual. Whether he will be a person of bliss or whether he will be the opposite of that. فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. So by Allah, the one who there is no God except him, each one of you may end up doing an action of the people of Jannah, or some of you may end up doing the actions of the people of Jannah until there's nothing between him and Jannah except an arm span. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلَهَا. Or فَيَدْخُلُهَا. Then he may end up doing the actions of the people of the hellfire, and then he ends up entering the hellfire. And one of you might end up doing the actions of the people of the fire until there's nothing left between him and the fire except an arm span. Then suddenly the book that Allah has predestined may end up overcoming and overruling, and that book may lead this person into doing the actions of the people of Jannah, and then this person enters Jannah. Okay? So this hadith has a lot of things in it, subhanAllah. Let's start trying to break it down one by one. Firstly, you see, unlike other ahadith, this hadith is very unique in that Ibn Mas'ud, he starts it off saying the Prophet is honest, the Prophet is truthful, and whatever the Prophet would have heard from Jibreel is also true. The question is, why is Ibn Mas'ud saying this? Why is he saying that the Prophet is honest and the Prophet is truthful, and whatever he would have heard from Jibreel is also true and honest? The reason why he would say this, subhanAllah, is because maybe, perhaps, considering the type of information that this hadith has, some people may end up denying and some people may end up disbelieving. We know that one of the reasons why people end up disbelieving is because of the idea of predestination, the idea of qadr. It's very hard for some people to believe in the idea of qadr, right? So, and Imam al-Tahawi, he says that a foot within Islam can never be truly established except if you completely submit yourself and your mind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَثْبُتُ قَدَمٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَى ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمِ. That you have to submit your aql to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has told you this. Your finite brain may not be able to comprehend the infinite realities. So sometimes you just have to submit. That's the purpose of, I mean, the whole idea of Islam is submission, right? So that's why Ibn Mas'ud, he starts this hadith off and he says, As-sadiq al-masduq. He's honest, and whatever news is coming to him is also truth. Then he says, Inna ahadakum, the Prophet said, Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi. Each one of you will be within the womb of your mother for 40 days. Okay? And for these 40 days, essentially the person will be like a sperm. And then from that sperm, the person will become a clot. And from that clot, the person will become a lump, or like a lump of flesh. So the first one is a sperm, a nutfa. Okay? So the person starts off with being just a drop or a nutfa or a sperm, and then he goes and he continues on to becoming a clot of blood, and then he becomes a morsel of flesh or a small thing of flesh. Now, the question is that are these 3 40 days or are they 1 40 day? It sounds like 3 40 days, okay? So the reality is there's actually conflicting narrations about whether these are 3 40 days or they are all 1 40 days. But if you look at the hadith, it doesn't explicitly say, if you look especially at the Arabic, it doesn't explicitly say that these are 3 40 days. It doesn't explicitly say 120 days, at least not in this narration. It says that each one of you will gather within the womb of his mother for 40 days as a nutfa, as a sperm-like substance. Then he will become something of a clot. Then he will become a flesh, a morsel of a flesh. All along, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Now, مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, should we understand from that for another 40 days, or should we understand a similar time frame? Okay? There's different ways of looking at it. But anyways, the overwhelming majority of the scholars generally believe that this is referring to 120 days. They believe that this is referring to 120 days. I'll get to this discussion in a little while. Okay? Now, why is this discussion important? The reason why this discussion is important is because this also leads us to another discussion, and that is the discussion on abortion. Is abortion permissible? If it is, when is it permissible? Whether it's ethical, whether it's not. All of these discussions kind of sprout from this hadith that are right before us. That is right before us. So let's think about what exactly this hadith is saying. Firstly, as I said, the majority of scholars believe that the hadith is telling us that it is 120 days for which the fetus develops, after which it becomes completely developed, or during which the embryo develops, after which it becomes a complete fetus. Okay? And after which the angel is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also blow the soul. However, in other reports, also authentic, like the report of Hudhayfah ibn Usaid in Sahih Muslim, he says when 42 days go by from the beginning of the sperm, إِذَا مَرَّ بِالنُّطْفَةِ ثِنْتَانِ وَأَرْبَعُونَ لَيْلَةً. When 42 days go by from the beginning of the sperm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel. And this angel, what does he do? He ends up doing the same thing that's described in this hadith over here. He ends up developing the form of this individual or this embryo. وَخَلَقَ سَمْعَهَا وَبَصَرَهَا وَجِلْدَهَا وَلَحْمَهَا وَعِظَامَهَا. And what he does is he makes the ears of it, of this fetus, and he makes the eyes of the fetus. He makes the skin generally of the fetus as well, the flesh and also the bones. Then he looks to Allah and he says, Oh Allah, is it going to be a male or is it going to be a female? And then Allah decides whatever, and Allah tells this angel to act accordingly as well. Okay? So now in this hadith, in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Hudhayfah ibn Usaid, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that it's 42 days within which all of these things happen. Okay? So based on these two different variations, the scholars, they differed whether all of this takes place in 120 days, which is the overwhelming majority of the early scholars, and whether it takes place within 40 to 50 days, because even the 42, some narrations say 45, others say 40 odd. Okay? So whether it's 40 to 49 or it's 120 complete. Now, the only way we can really come to the bottom of this is if we use some of the mechanisms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us today as well, right? And by the way, the scholars of the past as well, like Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and others, they would also resort to medicine, but medicine wasn't as developed as it is has been developed today. I'm saying this because as soon as you start looking at modern sciences and trying to understand the sunnah or trying to use them to help you understand the sunnah, some people they say, you're leaving the tradition and you're going to science. But Ibn Rajab himself, he uses science, but at that time science isn't as well developed as it has been developed today. So if we look at the embryonic stages, and I have, and I actually wrote about this in one of my books called From the Beginning Till the End, in which I spoke about the all the different stages of the ruh. And this hadith I discussed in detail within that book. And if we look at the different stages of the embryonic development, we find that it is around 6 weeks' time that the baby or the fetus is, the embryo develops completely into a fetus where now the heart also starts to beat. Okay? So what happens? It gets the ears, it gets the eyes, the early stages of the eyes, you can say, right? And it gets the early form of the hands as well, and also the early stages of the legs as well. All of this takes place within 6 weeks, and if we do the math, that's exactly 42 days. Okay? Just as the Prophet ﷺ, he said within this hadith of Usayd ibn, the hadith of Usayd. So, based on this, we can say that perhaps it is actually within the 40 to 49 days of period that these things happen, in which the angel comes and gives the form to the child within this period. Okay? And that's why many of the modern scholars, they did consider this particular reality. The modern sciences and modern research that we have, and also the fact that we can actually very closely observe what's happening to the fetus as well, when they gave their fatawa, the modern fatawa, related to abortion. So now let's get to the second subject, the subject of abortion. So the summary of whatever I said previously is this. Most of the scholars of the past, they say that it takes 120 days for the baby to develop completely into a fetus, the embryo to develop completely into a fetus. And some of them, they did say that within 40 days. There are some hints of this I found in some books. Okay? Then there are ahadith which are conflicting. Some ahadith, they appear to refer to 120 days, like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that we have before us. But they're not extremely explicit within them. Others may have very explicit terms as well. Others may only use 42 or 40 odd as well. So when we look at the modern tools that we have, when we look at the results of ultrasounds and other mechanisms that we have to be able to study the embryo as well, we find that within the 42 days, within the 42 to 49 days, the entire embryo is completely, very much developed into a fetus, and all of those things that the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, that the angel comes and develops the shape, develops the ears, develops the eyes, develops the skin, develops the flesh, and also the bones, all of these things have already happened within the first 42 days. And also, the heart begins to beat as well. Okay? Then, in addition to that, when we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we create it into a sperm. Then we take that sperm and create it into a clot. Then we take that clot and create it into some flesh, morsel of flesh. Then we take that flesh and add bones to it. And then we take the bone and give it flesh as well. Then what does he say? Now Allah even changes the tone of conversation. It's as if he's describing the first 42 days or the first 6 weeks. Then he says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخر. Then we give it a completely new creation. So is it possible that at the 40 days or 42 day mark or 49 day mark that Allah sends the angel down and gives the ruh to the child? Wallahu a'lam. As I said, there are scholars in our times especially who have this opinion, and we can't know for sure, but I personally lean towards this. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, we can't know for sure, but nonetheless, this is something that I have a personal leaning towards based on my studies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really knows best. Okay, so considering all of this, let's talk a little bit about the subject of abortion. We know that Islam is not very clear-cut on the issue of abortion. Meaning we don't have a conclusive passage from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from the Quran that is in every aspect of abortion, it's giving us all the fine details. No, we don't have any of that. That's why there are different scholars who have different views. Some scholars, they consider abortion haram, period, without any exceptions to it. Okay? So they say, from the time that the woman gets pregnant all the way till birth, you can't have an abortion. Okay? This is one of the views of a group of scholars from the past and also from the present as well. Others, they say that, look, within the first 40 days, you have leeway. Okay? Within the first 40 days, you have leeway. Because as I said, some will go and say, at the 40-day mark, now the ruh is also blown into the child. Others say, not the 40 days, and that's the majority opinion. They'll say, 120 days, there's some leeway as well. Why? Because they will say 120 days is when the soul is blown. And as I explained to you, this is the majority view, although I don't necessarily agree with it. Okay? Then, after the 120 days, there is an agreement among the scholars that the abortion is not considered permissible. Okay? So there's a spectrum of views. And there's also a spectrum of issues which the scholars considered reason enough for the abortion to occur. So, for example, if a person says, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to financially bear the responsibility of the child, is that reason enough? It's not reason enough. How about if a mother says, you know what, the doctor says to the mother that you are in no physical shape to have a child, and if you were to have a child, what's going to happen is that you might end up causing danger to your own personal life. And there's a great chance that you might not survive the pregnancy, okay? So are we going to say now we'll sacrifice the mother for the sake of a child which we're not sure will come out alive or not? Obviously not, right? So depending on the reason as well, the discussions may go in different directions. This is the general outline of the spectrum of views on this issue. I'm not here to give a fatwa because the fatwa can be different from person to person, etc. But generally speaking, this is the spectrum of views on this particular issue. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to practice and to convey. There's one more thing which is very important in my opinion from this hadith, and that is the last portion of the hadith. The last portion of the hadith goes as such. By Allah, besides whom there is no God, that one of you may end up, or some of you may end up acting by the actions of the people of Jannah until there is nothing between you and Jannah except for an arm span, and then the destined book or the predestination takes its course, and you end up acting by the actions of the people of fire. Now obviously this is meant to cast a lot of fear within your heart. You feel that, subhanallah, I may act as the people of Jannah throughout my life, and then when I'm very close to Jannah, suddenly something happens and the predestination takes place and I end up going to hellfire. Now the question is, that what if a person is sincerely trying to get to Jannah? Wouldn't this be a mechanism to block a person from Jannah? Is our Lord such that a person sincerely seeks Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocks him from Jannah? All of you feel, except the ones that are sleeping, all of you feel that The answer is no, and you're shaking your heads no, right? Well, the answer is obviously no. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees sincerity within a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shut the door for Jannah for this individual. How do we understand this hadith in the light of what we believe our Lord to be? Well, there is another variation of this hadith which is also authentic. Now, oftentimes you notice I say there's another variation of this hadith. What does that mean, there's another variation? The Qur'an is reported to us verbatim, whereas the sunnah is not necessarily reported to us verbatim. Okay? So that's why we have to use the different variations of hadith to produce the best narrative of what the Prophet ﷺ must have said. And that's why the early muhaddithin, they used to say that until we've read 30 different variations of the same hadith, we don't believe we've truly understood it. So that's why we actually have to understand all of the different variations, because someone may have thought one part is important and they mentioned that. Another person thought the other part is important, they mentioned that. Another person thought, another person used a word which was more clear. Another person used a word which was less clear. So we use all of them to try to reproduce what the Prophet ﷺ must have most accurately said. So in another variation of this hadith, also authentically reported, the Prophet ﷺ said, إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى فيما يبدو للناس. One of you may end up acting by the actions of the people of Jannah in whatever appears to people, not in reality. So this person was showing off to people that I am acting by the actions of the people of Jannah, but because his heart was truly not there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blocked him towards the end of his life, so that he becomes part of the people of the fire, and it becomes clearer to the people that this person didn't have real intentions in Islam. This person didn't have... Yes, it does. So it goes back to the first hadith as well. So the person didn't have an honest intention in Islam, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns him and makes him it clear for the people that this person truly didn't have the right intentions. The opposite is also true. A person may be acting by the actions of the people of the fire. He's doing every haram, but his heart inside is burning. And that's why we never disdain people. You see a person who is completely pious, apparently he's got a beard, he's got the thobe, he's got... This is not piety, but the point is that it appears to be piety, right? A woman, she's wearing every hijab that you can think of and everything is there, but the heart is not there. You may see a person who is a sheikh, a talib ilm, a person who is struggling in the path of Allah. You may see a person donating for the sake of Allah, but the heart is really not there. You know, you might have a donor. This happens as well. I mean, there's incidents of this. Some people, they want their name to be mentioned wherever it is. When donations occur, if I give you a $100,000 check, you have to ensure my name is listed as the donor. You have to ensure of that, otherwise you're not getting my donations. Well, maybe the person doesn't have the right intentions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us through the Messenger that one of you may end up acting like the people of Jannah, and that is only in what appears to the people. Then towards the end of your life, you end up going another direction. Vice versa is also true. A person may be acting like the people of the fire, meaning he's committing every single sin, but his heart feels like, I really shouldn't be doing this. Don't ever disdain people, subhanAllah. So many people, I remember just a few days ago, I was giving a talk somewhere and a brother came to me. He was in tears. And he says, Shaykh, I can't wake up for Fajr. I want to, I know it's good, I have to do it, but I want to go to sleep. But he's crying. Wallahi, this person is maybe better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a person who goes to Fajr and he says, look at me, I got up for Fajr. Wallahi. Or a person who goes to Fajr and then, what do? They take a picture of themselves and show to the whole planet. Or someone going for Hajj or Umrah and then they go and, you know, while they're making tawaf, they're like, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And a person who couldn't go for Hajj or Umrah or so forth. Subhanallah. So the Prophet ﷺ in this hadith is not saying that you're going to go to hell if Allah has destined it like that. Basically, the other hadith is describing to us that it is the intentions of the person which weren't clear, because of which Allah Azza wa Jal turned him away from the path of the people of Jannah, because of which he ended up taking another path, that is the path of the people of Hellfire, and the vice versa, the opposite is also true as well.